4 last Sunday morning. I'm just going to read it. Phase 4. Israelites from Tiberias to Jerusalem who are able to flee, flee southward toward the Negev wilderness in advance of the forces of Antichrist. And we find that in Revelation 12 and 6. And the woman, Israel, fled into the wilderness, the Negev wilderness, where she, the woman, hath a place prepared of God, that they, the Gentile nations, those in the west, should feed her, the woman, Israel, should feed her there 1,203 score days, 1,260 days, or times and half a times, or 42 months, or 3.5 years. And we covered that last Sunday morning. Israelites from Tel Aviv northward to Haifa, who have been cut off from their southward fleeing brethren in the east by the forces of Antichrist, are carried by a massive airlift into the Negev wilderness to join them. And I went through all the graphs and charts and showed you how that will come to pass. Revelation 12:14, the second phase of getting all the Israelites, the woman, into the Negev wilderness after she is driven there by the Antichrist. Revelation 12:14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that's a massive airlift that will carry the Jews from Haifa to Tel Aviv down to the Negev to join their brethren who have been driven there as the Antichrist made his southward thrust and conquered Jerusalem. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she, the woman, might fly, that's the airlift, into the wilderness, the Negev wilderness, into her place in the Negev wilderness, where she is nourished, taken care of for a time, a year, times, 2 years, half a time, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And so last Sunday morning we covered those two verses, and I told you I would start right here in phase 5. In phase 5, we're going through phases of what's going to happen in the tribulation period from the attack of Antichrist, the surprise attack as he comes from his place out of Syria and Lebanon and begins a massive southward thrust. The Antichrist army is scattered in a state of mass confusion, just as he is about to penetrate the Negev wilderness by a series of fantastic earthquakes from Beersheba northward to Jerusalem. This is how God fights to protect Israel, producing natural phenomena for 3.5 years after the fall of Jerusalem. Now, there is no question that the Antichrist army is going to smash Jerusalem. We find this in Zacharias. It says Zacharias, so I pronounced it Zacharias. I don't understand how my computer could have made that mistake. Zechariah 14, 2 and 3. Must be like our piano. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue, the God-breathed word for residue, is remnant. And the residue, or the remnant of the people, shall not be cut off from the city. And as I've said so often, cut off means to be completely, eternally separated forever, like when a man dies, he's cut off from the living. He said, these people are not cut off permanently. They're going to return one day, and eventually we'll get to that in these various phases. Now, we're at the point in time in these phases where the Antichrist has driven southward, conquered the city of Jerusalem. You see what he does to it. Then he starts to turn back toward Tel Aviv and Haifa. But that's where most of the Jewish people are today, along the coastline from Tel Aviv to Haifa. The Israelis massively airlift those brethren in that area down to the Negev because they realize they have an indefensible position there. And then the Antichrist starts southward. He's poised. He's conquered Jerusalem. He's got a massive army behind him. It doesn't look good for Israel. He's just about to penetrate the Negev wilderness at Beersheba in the northern part. And all of a sudden, God does something. Then shall the Lord go forth, Zechariah 14:3, and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. You know, when John called me and talked about, Brother Hill said there's no fear of God, no reverential respect of God. I want to tell you one of the reasons I have a reverential respect of God. It's because I've spent so much time looking at what God says he's going to do by unleashing his power on this earth against the Antichrist. And believe me, I have learned a lot more respect for God. And I'm afraid in today's society, many prophetic buffs and experts keep believing that God's going to use our thermonuclear weaponry and our expertise and to develop horrifying, destructive weapons to fulfill his prophecy. When God fights, God uses what he made. And he can also use supernatural phenomena that we are not even familiar with. But when God fights, he uses his own creation, which he made by his own hand, and no one else could have made this except God. And what he's going to do when he fights against Antichrist for that last 3 years of the tribulation period is going to be absolutely awesome. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to take a look at what God does to the Antichrist army just as they're going to strike. We're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 16 through 23. And I'm going to ask you to remember, we've got a little thing in between here I'm going to show you. I'm going to ask you to remember that when I get to Ezekiel 38, 16 through 23, what I'm talking about is, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, after the Antichrist has taken Jerusalem. Remember, this is in phases. After the Antichrist has taken Jerusalem, he's driving south to destroy Israel and the Negev, and I'm going to show you what God's going to do. I don't believe that my life was an accident. I believe God chose me for this. I believe it was what God meant for me to do from the time I was conceived in my mother's womb. That doesn't mean I believe in election and that I was elected to be saved and go to heaven. It meant that God knew the choice I would make to trust in his Son. But God has been very gracious to me and has stuck me into some of the most peculiar circumstances you've ever seen that a man could have on the face of this earth. And I learned some things about the earth, and I was really the first one in our work that ever learned them. I learned how the earth is put together, not theoretically, but actually. What you see on this chart, those red lines, are tremendous cracks in the crust of the earth. They go all the way down through the crust of the earth, and they eventually make contact with great underground lakes of red-hot flowing liquid rock called magma. That's God's earth. He owns, operates, and controls it. I've also learned how God put the earth together as far as earthquakes are concerned, what causes them, what causes volcanic eruptions, how these huge pieces of the earth's crust called tectonic plates float and move on these underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. And God drew my interest to one particular fault that you see here that goes off the eastern coastline of Greenland, across Iceland, down the middle of the Atlantic between Europe and the United States, down the middle of the Atlantic between Africa and South America, around the southern tip of Africa, up through the Indian Ocean, through the Gulf of Aden, up both sides of the Red Sea, and northward through Israel. What God has been doing in that area is extremely interesting. This isn't something that's new. This is something I've been teaching ever since 1978. In 1978 at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church in Little Rock, I showed them this chart. And I told them way back then, when the Soviet Union was the height of its power, man will not destroy himself with atomic weaponry, but rather God will destroy man with the earth. I made my case to prove it, and we are in the beginning of sorrows, and I've made my case to prove that. These huge lakes of liquid rock that underlie the crust of the earth actually allow these huge pieces of the earth's crust to float in the general direction that you see on top with these black arrows. These pieces of the earth's crust, as they float and move, build up tension and pressure along these red boundaries, and they produce the world's earthquakes, the world's volcanic eruptions. I'm interested in one particular section right here in the Red Sea and northward through Israel. I went out on a limb in 78, and I've taught the same identical thing word for word ever since. What I've taught is simply this. All the way down the middle of the Atlantic, around the southern tip of Africa, through the Indian Ocean, through the Gulf of Aden, up both sides of the Red Sea and northward through Israel, there is a tremendous crack in the crust of the earth that you see on this screen, where the liquid rock is flowing up and forming new crust every day and spreading apart. There are tremendous tectonic pressures that have been building up right here in the Gulf of Aqaba. You see this crack running up the Red Sea. You see it going to the Gulf of Aqaba. You see it going northward through Israel. This is a locked fault. A long time ago, God took this piece of the earth's crust and this piece of the earth's crust that float on the underground liquid lakes of rock called magma, and he pushed them together and fused them together like you'd fuse modeling clay. When you push modeling clay together, it locks. This is a locked fault that runs through Israel, north-south on the Jordan River Valley. The harder you push the modeling clay together, the deeper the fusion, and the more violent the reaction will be when it is finally unleashed. I told you that this section south, from the Gulf of Aqaba down to the Gulf of Eden in the Red Sea, was spreading faster than any other fault in that area, constantly spreading apart. I told you as this spreading occurred, it was putting tremendous pressure on the Gulf of Aqaba, and that eventually that would rip apart and would cause the greatest earthquake the world has ever seen. I went back through and showed you the history of this fault and showed you how it's already doing it. This isn't a matter of theory. You see this article from National Geographic, which I got way back in the early 70s, well, late 70s. And you see here how this is spreading apart, how this is locked, and pressure is in the Gulf of Aqaba. I then showed how Israel is structured. Actually, there are two cracks running on both sides of the Red Sea, all the way through the nation of Israel on both sides of the Dead Sea, northward all the way up into Lebanon. When this thing cracks open, it's going to produce the greatest series of earthquakes the world has ever seen in Israel. And there's some interesting things about this. Remember about a year ago, they had a 5.2. And remember about 4 months ago, they had a 7.2 in the Gulf of Aqaba. I told people in 78, this tension and pressure is building up. You're eventually going to see it start to move, and it's going to split. We hadn't had an earthquake in that area until about a year ago. Then we had a 7.2 a few months ago. This is the very latest one, March the 9th, 1996. Another quake rakes rocks Eilat. That's the Gulf of Aqaba. Another strong earthquake rocked Eilat this morning, last Monday morning, the second time in less than a week. It was felt in the Tel Aviv region and as far away as Safed. Experts say the quake at 9:15 was slightly stronger than the one in the same area the previous Wednesday. No injuries or damage were reported, although the tremor shook hotels and homes and especially the upper floors of high-rise buildings. The quake was also felt in Cairo and parts of Sinai. Dr. Grady Shamir from the Seismology Division of the Geophysical Institute said the quake measured 5.5 on the Richter scale. There are a series of ridges, anticlines and synclines, where the earth has been pushed together, that go from Jerusalem down to Beersheba. When this earthquake begins to unleash itself, God is going to shake that section from Jerusalem down to Beersheba like it has never been shaken before. Remember, the Antichrist army is poised. He's getting ready to attack. Jerusalem has been overrun. And we begin with Ezekiel 38:16. Thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. This is when Daniel brings him down. It's when Micah brings him down as the Assyria. Daniel brings him down as the king of the north. And Ezekiel brings him down as Gog. Thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, the last days in which I believe we're living. And I will bring thee against my land that the heathen may know me, and I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, O Antichrist, before their eyes. The word sanctified means set apart in the way that you think about God. And once this is finished, the whole world will no longer sit around and say, who's God? Who's afraid of God? Is there a God? Because he will be set apart forever as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the God of all power once this is completed. Because what he's going to do to the Antichrist army is going to save Israel from being destroyed. He's going to destroy a large segment of the Antichrist army. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel? He's been talking about this for a long time. Which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them. God's going to bring him down when God picks the time. And when he comes down, once God gets him in place and it looks like Israel's about to be wiped out of the Negev, then boom, here's what God does. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. Of course, that's Ezekiel 38:18. But remember, of course, God wrote through all the prophets. And in Ezekiel 14:3, it says, after the city of Jerusalem is destroyed, in Ezekiel 14:2, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And here in verse 18, it tells about this fight and what he's going to do. It shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel. Remember, Ezekiel just said he had wiped out Jerusalem. Saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. And here comes the fury of God poured out on the Antichrist army to save Jerusalem. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. The Antichrist army is poised all the way from Jerusalem southward. He's got Israel boxed in the Negev. He's won a great victory, conquered Jerusalem. He's getting ready to go into the Negev and smash a fleeing Israel. And here's what God does to the Antichrist. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth. Now notice, this affects a very wide area. These red lines are an inner maze that circumvent large sections of the globe. This is going to be felt all over the Mideast, all over Europe, and even slight tremors will be felt here. So if the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. God controls the earth. Israel belongs to God. In the Negev wilderness, the shaking will be minimal. But in that area where the Antichrist army is poised to the north, it will be great. This is something that you can see happen all over the earth. You can go to an area, I've been to many in California, you'll go to one city and it'll be devastated. You go to another city, very little damage. God's going to control it in such a way that the bulk of the destructive power is going to be north of Beersheba and from Jerusalem southward. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. There's going to be such mass confusion in the Antichrist army, and it will be a collection of other troops from different Arab countries, 10 other Arab countries. Then you're going to see a mass confusion among them, and they won't even know who the enemy is, and God often did this in the Old Testament. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. I bow before God, and I stand before man, and I tell you, knowing I must answer the judgment seat of Christ, and I tell you that every one of those phenomena are produced by volcanic eruptions. God's going to rip open that valley, at least partially at this time. He's going to generate tremendous earthquakes, and the Antichrist army is going to be destroyed, not by the power of men, but by the power of God. Verse 23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, set myself apart in the eyes of all nations. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Now notice, you won't have any problem with people not revering and fearing God then. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I already know it. I try to tell people. I don't know what else to do. I'm doing everything I know how to tell people. You better wake up. You better start fearing the Lord. You better revere the Lord. Because it's pay me now or pay me later. Don't wait until it happens to have respect for him. Start having respect for him before it happens. Now we're going to go on into phase 6. Phase 6, the Antichrist, thwarted from destroying the Israelites in the Negev, moves westward to conquer Egypt, captures Cairo, then moves westward along the coast to the border of Libya, and southward along the Nile to the border of Sudan. I've taken all the prophets and put them together. After all, they were all superintended by the same Holy Spirit of God, and he writes without error, and they should fit. They do fit. And you can take Daniel and Ezekiel and Micah, you can take all of them, Hosea, they fit together perfectly. Now, once his army is shaken, the Antichrist and his army will have an inward fear. They will believe this is from God, and the Antichrist will say to himself, well, I've got them boxed in the Negev. They can't harm me. I'll take care of them later. And the Syrians despise the Egyptians, especially since Anwar Sadat made a peace treaty with Israel, and Mubarak, they can't stand him. So the Antichrist, called the Assyrian from Lebanon or Syria, also called Gog, also called the king of the north, shall then go across and attack Egypt. He'll come southward and drive Israel into the Negev. These up here will be airlifted later into the Negev. Then a great earthquake will occur in here. His army will be put in a state of confusion. After it's over, there will be a reverential fear of, let's just leave them there for a while. And he will head across into Egypt. When he heads across into Egypt, he will first conquer Cairo. I can show you the exact path his army will take, even though it's not stated in the Bible specifically, he will go along the shoreline. I know this because I've spent a lot of time in the Middle East. This is all desert. This is the only place in Egypt that's worth anything. He'll take Cairo here. Israel's back here in the Negev. He'll go across. He'll hit the Libyan border. He'll then go down the Nile River. This is desert. This is desert. Not worth a dime. His troops will go straight down the Nile River. That's Egypt itself, actually. And he'll stop at the border of what at the time this was written was called Ethiopia, and today is called Sudan. Now, the reason I know he'll do this is because of what Daniel says here. Daniel 11, 42, 43. King of the north has come south to strike in Daniel 11, 40. We're switching over from Ezekiel to Daniel. First we went from Zechariah to Ezekiel. Now we're switching back to Daniel. Daniel 11, 42, 43. The Antichrist, thwarted from destroying the Israelites in the Negev, moves westward to conquer Cairo, captures Cairo, and then moves westward along the coast to the border of Libya and southward along the Nile to the border of Sudan. Here we go, Daniel 11, 42, 43. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver. Whatever the natural resources are of Egypt today, in the old times, gold and silver was looked upon as the nation's most valuable possession. Today, it may be something entirely different. And over all the precious things of Egypt, now notice, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. He will drive to their border. The reason he doesn't cross their border is because the Ethiopians, the Sudanese, today it's called Sudan, at least that portion touching the border. Sudan will be one of the 10 toes of Daniel's statue, one of the 10 horns of Daniel's fourth beast, one of the 10 horns of John's beast. Libya will be one of the 10 toes. Now, I'd stake, I don't have a reputation, but if I had one, I'd stake it. Sudan will be one of the 10 toes. Libya will be one of the 10 toes. Syria will be one of the 10 toes. And I don't know if you're going to count Lebanon or not, because they're really not much of a country anymore. They've taken over by Syria. I can name some of those 10 toes and be very confident I'm correct. But I haven't been able to positively identify all 10 yet. Phase 7. With Israel militarily contained in the Negev, this is phase 7, the rest of Israel as his possession, and the wealth of Egypt under his control, all will be well with him for a period of time. He will be respected, revered, and feared by the rest of the world. The false, universal, invisible, ecumenical church, with the Catholic Church as its leader, will worship the Antichrist Father indirectly by worshiping the Antichrist. Now, I get in trouble sometimes when I talk about the Roman Catholic Church. This has absolutely nothing to do with an individual, personal Roman Catholic. But it has to do with a system of false teaching. And I cannot stand as God's man called to proclaim the truth without telling you that the Roman Catholic Church has departed into the most ungodly heresy that has ever existed on this earth. I would be less than a man called of God if I did not identify. So in these things that I'm going to present, I ask you, please don't take it personally. And please don't sit there and think he shouldn't be doing that, because you're going to get in trouble with the Lord if you do. And I care for you. And this is something that has to be identified. The Roman Catholic Church is a monster. Its teachings are monstrous. But I don't mean to transfer this ungodly thing over to people. It's just the system of teaching that's ungodly. So please take it in that vein. And don't take it personally like I'm attacking individuals. I'm attacking false teaching. Revelation 13, 4 and 5. And they worshiped the dragon, the devil, which gave power unto the beast, the Antichrist, and his system. And they worshiped the beast, the Antichrist, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? You see, he's already gone across, for all practical purposes, conquered Israel, got her boxed in the Negev. He's gone in and conquered Egypt. He's gained the respect of all the nations in the Middle East. He's gained the respect of Europe and most of the world that was known at that time that this was written. He's gained that area's respect for today. Who is able to make war with him? Who is like unto the beast? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Now, remember, he keeps Israel, he drives southward, he keeps Israel in the Negev for more than 3 years. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Here is where he starts claiming to be from God. He claims to be the prophet that was sent by Allah. He claims to be the Son of God, if you will. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given to him to continue 42 months. That's the same thing as times, times, and half of times, 1,260 years. Or 1,260 days. Revelation 17:1-5. And then verse 18. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters. Now when John wrote that in 95-96 A.D., the known world at that time, to the people of that day, consisted of the many waters and the many nations that set around the Mediterranean Sea. And the great whore that he is referring to here is involved with the Roman system, the Roman Empire, which setteth upon many waters. The Roman Empire encompassed the entire Mediterranean Sea. And he's talking about a false religious system that is a part of that Roman Empire at that day, Daniel's fourth beast, and Daniel's great statue's two legs. He's talking about a false religious system that is setting in the midst of the Roman Empire. And in the last days, in that same area, out of the area revived, which includes the Arab nations to the south, is going to arise a false religious system which will consist of the Catholic Church and all of the erring brothers and sisters that have returned to her. And it is now a quarter till 11. And I want to give you all time to have a short break.